Good morning. My name is Anita Cohen. I'm a program evaluator from Denver, Colorado. I'm also the chair of the mental health section booth over in the convention hall. So we need people to sign up, and it's 50-90 before you hit the poster session. So I'm also encouraging people to go visit the section booth and sign up for coverage and meet some of your colleagues. There's also a social tomorrow night in the Grand Hyatt, and we welcome people to come to that as well. Today we're going to be talking about mental health services implementation, and we have four presenters, and I'll just introduce each of them in turn. The first presenter is Laura Elwin, and Dr. Elwin is a senior research associate and analyst at the Associates for Human Potential with her colleagues who put the presentation together and did the work. And she has expertise in qualitative and quantitative methods, outcome studies, research instrument design, data collection and analysis. And she was the principal investigator for the project that she's going to be presenting. And she's going to tell you a little bit about a little adjustment in her presentation. Laura?
I'm going to talk today about an evaluation of a computer-based decision aid on antipsychotic medications. That was a tool developed to promote shared decision-making in mental health. And the change that Anita mentioned was that the abstract actually also includes an evaluation of a general decision support workbook, and there was just no way to include both of them in 20 minutes, so I'm going to not do that today. But if you're interested, I'm certainly happy to provide further information on that.
You want me to switch? I'm happy to do that for you.
No, it's okay. Okay. Let me go back to this. As Anita mentioned, this evaluation was conducted by myself and colleagues from Advocates for Human Potential, and it was funded by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the background of the evaluation, particularly shared decision making and what that is. It's a medical model of a relationship between a physician and a patient, or a clinician and a service user, that sort of weighs equally the expertise of the physician in terms of knowledge of disease process, treatment, benefits and risks, and so forth, but also weighs as equally the self-knowledge of a patient or a service user in terms of their values, their preferences for treatment, their self-knowledge. So the two, those two expertises are used to collaboratively inform the treatment decisions. And it's particularly salient in situations where there's multiple treatment options or there's uncertainty about decisions. So, for example, with antipsychotic medications, there's a large set of antipsychotic medications that have been shown to be similarly good at reducing symptoms, but they produce different side effects. And so somebody, a patient who's trying to determine whether they would prefer to have problems with sleep or problems with weight gain, their preferences and their sort of self-knowledge becomes particularly important. The research generally in general healthcare and shared decision making is that most patients, studies have shown most patients, at least in Western societies, prefer that model compared to a more traditional kind of paternalistic model. And it's actually been found to be preferred by 75% of US physicians, and also has been associated with favorable outcomes. For example, people have felt clearer and more certain about a treatment decision, and therefore there's tended to be more adherence to treatment. There's been much less, it's a newer model in behavioral health care, and therefore there's less research and less of an evidence base for shared decision making in behavioral health care, But there have been some studies done with, for example, people diagnosed with depression or schizophrenia. And those studies have found that there is a strong preference for shared decision making and a strong interest for those service users in getting information and in participating in treatment decisions. Shared decision making is also very consistent with the move towards transforming mental health services to make them more recovery oriented. And by recovery, meaning that individuals with serious mental illness. I just got distracted. There's a lot of noise out there all of a sudden. People with serious mental illness, you know, can still continue to have quality of life, meaningful lives, fulfilling lives, while, you know, coping with the mental illness. But it doesn't have to take over their entire life. And SAMHSA has been very involved in promoting recovery and recovery-oriented practice. Shared decision making is consistent with that in the sense that it involves people making treatment decisions themselves, being informed, being involved in those decisions. Just the specific background, SAMHSA had a meeting of experts and stakeholders in shared decision making in 2007 that resulted in sort of evaluations of the status of shared decision making mental health. And also, they developed plans to promote shared decision-making in mental health. And one of the things they did was to contract for the development of free and publicly available tools or products to help promote shared decision-making in mental health, including informational products such as brochures, tip sheets, videos, webinars, and also decision support workbooks and computer-based decision aid, which I'll talk about more. They also contracted with Advocates for Human Potential for field testing of two of those products. And as I said earlier, we did also field test the general decision support workbook, but I don't have time to talk about that today. So I'm going to talk about our evaluation of the computer-based decision aid on antipsychotic medications. And people may be aware that decision aids are informational tools that are designed to help people make a specific health care decision, and they generally provide the pros and cons, help people to weigh different treatment options. So for example, if somebody has breast cancer, there are various treatment options that have different ramifications for your life, and a decision aid on that subject would help you determine that. And some of them also provide tools to help users clarify their own preferences. The decision aid on antipsychotic medications that we field tested was called What is Right for Me, Considering the Role of Antipsychotic Medications in My Recovery Plan. It's computer-based, interactive. Some of the features it contains is videos of people in recovery, like little short things of people in recovery talking about their experiences, for example, with making a decision about antipsychotic medications, difficulties they might have had talking to prescribers, and other things like that. There's a lot of layers of information in this decision aid. For example, a glossary that defines terms. There's also, for major topics, if people want to know more about that topic, you can click a button and it'll take you where there's more explanation of it. It gives you web links and so forth. And finally, there's also cool tools, which are worksheets or tip sheets that, for example, give you tips about how to start a conversation with a prescriber about making a decision about medication, you know, concerns that you might have. And finally, it also provides a personal report. So people put in information about their preferences, their medication history, and it will organize that information into a couple of page report that you can print out and actually take to a prescriber to help you start a conversation with them. It frames discussion of antipsychotic medications in terms of thinking about them in the context of recovery and wellness. It also talks about some diagnoses that antipsychotic medications may be prescribed for. It talks about a lot about side effects. And it also talks about other alternative and supplementary treatment options. So the research questions that we had for the evaluation itself were, how useful was a decision aid? Did people find it helpful? Particularly, did it increase knowledge, preparedness, confidence for making decisions about medications? Did it support shared decision making? And we were also interested in, SAMHSA was also interested in what the opportunities and barriers were in the field and in real life to the implementation of a tool like this. We field tested the product at three sites, two community mental health agencies, and we also tested it at a community center that was part of the Veterans Administration, as we wanted to get veterans involved in this also. Two of them were in small cities and one in the suburbs of Boston. And we tested it in various programs, including clubhouses, day treatment programs, other psychosocial rehab programs. The design was that we did a kickoff orientation to administrators, staff, peers at the particular site that talked about shared decision making and the product. And then we had an on-site coordinator who was an administrator at the agency who oversaw promotion and distribution of the product. And in the case of the decision aid, they had to set up, in some cases, you know, the computer setup. So some at one place there was a computer lab, others they had to set up the kiosks and so forth. And then after about 4 to 6 weeks, a couple of members of the evaluation team would come back and conduct focus groups and administer surveys to both service users and staff who had been involved in using the product. And we also did some key informant interviews. And these, we collected information to answer the questions. How am I doing on time?
10 minutes.
Okay. So the results of this evaluation, across the three sites, probably about 300 service users were invited to use the product. 115 actually used the decision aid, tried it out, and 84 service users participated in the evaluation itself, meaning they completed surveys and attended focus groups, and 33 staff also do the same. The service user participants were about a little over half were women. The majority were white. The mean age was 44, but ranged from 19 to 67, pretty large range. People were, for the most part, pretty highly educated. Over half had some college or more. Although almost a third were employed, the majority of those were employed part-time. Very few people were employed full-time. And this was a group of people who had been using mental health services for a long time, 92% over 5 years. One of the things that we also asked about, the lights just went out. Do we know why? I'll continue, but 14% of the service users that could participate in the evaluation had absolutely no experience with computers, had really never touched a computer. About half had some experience and the rest had more. And 31% reported discomfort with computers. And not surprisingly, we also found a generational divide. Younger service users had much more comfort and experience with computers. But what this meant was that for the most part, there was definitely a need for staff or peer support in using the decision aid, at least for the first time. The response was that 95% of service users generally found the decision aid very helpful, and 100% of staff felt that it was helpful for at least some of the consumers that they worked with, the service users. Some of the particularly helpful features that people mentioned were the videos I talked about of people in recovery talking about their own experiences, the cool tools, tip sheets and such, the glossary, and also a side effect chart that actually had people match there we go. Match side effects where you would say, you know, I would prefer to gain weight rather than have sexual problems. Hard matches to make, you know. But it actually ended up providing people with a prioritization of side effects, which some people found surprising, actually, in terms of what it came up with. But that was something that people liked quite a lot. People also reported a number of issues with the decision aid. There were some technical problems. Some people found there was an overwhelming amount of information. And another thing that came up a lot by service users, by staff and administrators, was people really wanted information about other psychotropic medications. This was narrowly focused on antipsychotics, which, given the scope even of that subject, is hard to make it larger than that. But people were very interested in having more information about other psychotropics and also interactions with other medications that people were taking for medical problems, you know, diabetes and so forth. The decision aid did support shared decision making. Some of the service users who used the decision aid had spoken to their prescribers afterwards, and some were planning to speak to their prescribers. And the majority in both those groups reported that using the decision aid had increased their confidence and their preparedness for making a decision about medication and talking to their prescriber. The ones who had spoken to prescribers reported that the response they received from prescribers was generally positive. Psychiatrists and so forth addressed their concerns about medications. In some cases, prescribers were negative or dismissive. So this is a service user comment from one of the focus groups. I took the report to my therapist and my psychiatrist, and now we are looking for something that does not have the side effects I am currently suffering. The report helped me because I have had side effects in the past, and I was not able to talk to my psychiatrist about my side effects. Implementation issues. We did find that agency resources are very definitely needed to introduce these topics. You can't just sort of put this up on the web and have people use it. It requires, first of all, it requires some computer support and access, but it also requires staff and peer support to help people, at least initially, kind of navigate through the program, learn how to use the computer. One of the things that we also found was very important was key staff investment. Having sort of key staff at a given site who are really promoting it and interested and behind it made a huge difference. They would find innovative ways to use the products, for example, using them in groups. And finally, programmatic context and organizational culture in terms of investment in the product also made a large difference. There was obviously limitations to this study. It was a convenience sample, basically a self-selected sample. There was not a lot of diversity. We were hoping for more diversity in the population that we were interviewing. Time constraints that particularly affected the decision aid, because you really sort of need more of like a year to implement it. First of all, people probably need to use it repeated times. And secondly, people don't see their prescribers that often necessarily. So we would have liked to do a longer time period. And we would have liked to have more prescriber involvement. So in summary, it is a tool that can increase knowledge about medications and other treatment options. It can clarify preferences and priorities and increase confidence about sharing decisions with providers. And we feel that it's something that's very usable in the context of a broader strategy to promote shared decision making in a mental health agency. And that's all I have. Are there any other questions? Yes.
In the surprise over the results on the fourth choice for side effect profiles, who was surprised? Was it the prescribers, the clinicians, or?
No, the service users themselves.
Could you
repeat the question? Yeah. This gentleman asked whether who was surprised by the results of the the side effect comparing algorithm. And service users themselves were surprised about what came up on top, what they were most didn't want to have happen as a side effect. Yeah, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
Time for one more, okay. And then we'll have time for questions at the end.
Okay.
The question was, did we develop the computer-based decision aid? I didn't personally. The Advocates for Human Potential has a technical assistance and other aspects divisions within them, and so one of their divisions was given the contract, and along with Westat, they developed the decision aid. They had a lot of input from, you know, huge numbers of consultants and experts and service users.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.